with you guys, that's it's so nice to be able to stay in here, actually, after all this time of stress and then COVID. And the worship this morning, that song was one of the first songs I think Phil learnt, that something we imported, that Chad Barrett song, who was the worship leader for a long time at Kingdom Faith. And it's such a lovely little song, so it was joining the past to the present. I remember Phil learning that, and one or two others that I've inflicted on him and you to learn. It's been a privilege and a joy. Now, there's no retirement, my friend John Bridger tells me, in ministry. Just retirement. Think about that. A retirement. So we still have things that God's put on our heart to do. One of them is involved with Connie and Alistair. Thank you for being here. And we've still got some unfinished work in Uganda. Remember Pastor Steve Payne?
Yes.
Remember, and we bought mattresses. Very generous. The church here, Essence, we're not a wealthy congregation, but we always give them generously. And we bought mattresses. Well, that school obviously suffered during the lockdown and all the rest of it. Sadly, some of the equipment at the school has vanished during the lockdown, which is not unusual. Unless it's chained up sometimes, and you can't chain beds down necessarily and things. But they're in need of a new toilet block, because, you know, we dig holes in the ground, and I went there, I think 2015, and we did it, and they've lasted well. So Connie and Alistair were involved with that, and the Ministry of Warriors of Praise there. I'm still keeping an eye on Mari. If you want to continue to give to that, by the way, please feel free to do that. Keep an eye on Mari, make sure that she doesn't become too Baptist-y, and I think we've managed to stop her doing that now, which is excellent. A joy to have worked with you, Mari, as well. Christine was similar. So, yeah, you finished your training?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I finished
the theory. When I taught you, it remains to be seen, I'm sure. But, and I'm hoping to do, I always had this dream of being able to sit in my garden and bring God's word to me, not have to go to church at all. I like that idea, and because that dream was fulfilled in the lockdown, it said I never got into the garden because the light wasn't very good to be able to do Zoom. Those dark days that we came through with Zoom, and now we're here and seeing so many of you here. The church has fundamentally had to readjust and change, and we're on a journey. One of the other things that God's still put in my heart, and which the deacons asked me to do, is to still push forward with your planning consent for a new building here, which is so close now. I've had some conversations when I felt well with Raven, with their developer, and you just need to pray especially for the floodplain issue. That's just the last remaining thing, and then the plans are waiting to go. So the next time I hope to be able to come to a new building. But I'm happy to work with Wayne particularly, and probably Christian as well, to see that to a point where you'll be getting your builder ready to go. I won't be able to come up every week to see a builder two or three times a week, and that would be beyond my capability. But I know people that like walking around on building sites. But that would be good. So there's never a stopping. It's a redirection with less energy involved with some of that as well. But it's been our joy and our privilege and our challenge at times as well to be here. The last time I came was out of the top 10 of things I prefer to avoid in church was one of those. It was probably one of the hardest times I've ever had. But this morning, more than made up for that. I know you sense the presence of God as we worship this morning. And that's what church is actually. It's not about pastors retiring. We just come and go. We all come and go. We're just the custodians for a short time. It's about Jesus. You know, as we gather, Jesus is here. That's what's important, what you can't actually do on Zoom. Jesus is here. And there's just one other thing before we pray about. I've got a possible opportunity of getting involved with some stuff online with Peter Bending, some quite challenging, slightly left of centre stuff, sort of to make people think. And I haven't got a clue how to turn the computer on, as most of you know, and that's why I find it amusing that you're likely to choose somebody like me to do something. But Peter assures me he knows how to turn a computer on and work a camera. So if that happens, we'll give you some links. Is that the right word, links? Is that what they are? Bless you, thank you so much. And let's carry on focusing on the one who's important. Yes? Amen.
You can't stop a man preaching, can you? I'm one of the... The reason I'm here is because Brian took it to one side and said, God's got more for you than you're thinking about at the moment. And I thank you for that, Brian, I think. I would never have been a Baptist minister without Brian saying the things he did. But this morning, God's led me very specifically to a passage of scripture. As soon as I knew that I was preaching today, this passage just jumped into my mind. And it's from the story of Moses and God's people, and they're about to set out on a new journey. So I want to set the context, first of all, to the stories so far. And I want to start where Israel had been in slavery in Egypt. They'd been in Egypt for 400 years, originally as welcome guests, honoured guests, Joseph's family they'd been. But they've become so strong that they've become slaves. Eventually, they called out to God for help, and God chose Moses as their leader. Excuse me. Last week, I was preaching in our church in Alton, and because I had COVID, I was almost a cardboard cutout, right? I was preaching by video from my living room. So I've got a bit of a strange voice because I had COVID. So God chose Moses as leader, and they eventually left Egypt with the plagues and crossing the Red Sea. It was miraculous, and God provided for them miraculously. They complained. They didn't like change. They complained. But eventually they got to Mount Sinai. After 2 months, that's how long they've been in the wilderness, 2 months. And I'm going on too quick. That's how God spoke to Moses. He gave him the initial version of the Ten Commandments, not the tablets of stone, the initial version, and some of the law. And the people all promised to worship God and to keep his law. Moses then went back up the mountain to speak to God again, and that was where God gave him the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on, and detailed instructions on how to worship him in the tabernacle, how to construct the tabernacle, how to worship him. When he got down again, he found that the people had already turned from worshipping God. He'd been up on the mountain probably a week, I'm not quite sure, but probably a week, and they turned away from God. They wanted something they could see and touch. And Moses was furious, and so was God. Moses broke the tablets and persuaded God not to destroy them. And because God is the God of second chances and new beginnings, he didn't destroy them. He's the God of second chances. And it was at that point that he pointed out the way ahead to them. He said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And that's brought us to our Bible reading in Exodus 33. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The words are up there, but if you want to follow them in your Bible, that's fine. So Exodus 33. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. go up to this land that flows with milk and honey. But I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. Although God has promised not to destroy them, he is still angry. He's still feeling if he went with them, if he got too close, he would destroy them. And so for their own good, he said he won't go with them. When the people heard these stone words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewellery and fine clothes. But the Lord had told Moses to tell them, "You are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you, for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewellery and fine clothes while I decide what to do with you." So, from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewellery or fine clothes. They responded to God's warning and repented. So things had gone wrong. They turned away from God, and God was angry, but they repented. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it out some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at his entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. No one else, apart from Moses, wanted to approach this all-powerful, angry God. Joshua also dared to go in, as the next few verses tell us. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Moses spoke with God as a friend, and Joshua didn't want to leave God's presence. And I just think that's a mark of a leader. It's someone that God speaks to as a friend, and someone who wants to be in God's presence. You may not be a leader in terms of a church leader or a business leader, but if that's your heart's desire, you will lead people. You will lead them to God. You will lead them in a good direction in their lives. You will be a leader. The next few verses show the impact of God's presence with his people. Verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me I know you by name, and I look favourably on you." In many ways, the history of God's people is similar to the history of this church, of many churches, of us as individuals. All the time, God has been there, providing and rescuing. When things have gone wrong, he's been there. There have been mistakes, there have been good times, there have been bad times. And times are now changing for Brian and Lynn and for the people of this church. And just as Moses was asking who was going to help him, God is wanting to ask you, his people, who will be my leaders? Who will go with me? Who will journey with me as you move on? Who will be the leaders? Change is coming, but God is with you. So as you pray, day by day, pray that the leaders for the future will be revealed. And then verse 13 speaks about identity. "If it is true that you look favourably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favour. And remember that this nation is your very own people." We are a people who belong to God. We're known as Christians. We should know the ways of God so that we can live by God's principles and know God's favour. We need God to reveal that to us, because we're a people who should demonstrate the favour of God. What does God's favour mean? It's not favour and success in an earthly term, but God's favour means we live in integrity, with courage, with humility, with the fruit of the Spirit growing within us, with our prayers being answered, living in victory, lives that demonstrate His peace at work and convey hope and love to those around, success in following God on the journey that He will lead us on. We are God's very own people, and this is our identity. Then it speaks of relationship, and this really is the heart of what I believe God wants to say today. The Lord replied, "I personally will go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." God promises not just His favour, but His presence. In the good times, the bad times, we never need be alone. When everyone else has deserted us, God is still with us. That presence will bring us reassurance and rest from the frenzy of trying to be someone we're not. We can relax in His presence. We can know that He loves us and cares for us, just the way we are. And so as you move forward as a child, as an individual, remember this. God loves you. And then, this is what Moses said. If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favourably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. Can you hear the passion in Moses' voice? Don't leave us. Don't make us go on without you. Do you have that passion in your heart? As a church, as individuals, do you long to follow God? You're setting out now on a new part of your journey. And are you prepared to follow God as He leads you? We all have plans and dreams for the future. When God led His people away from Mount Sinai, He used a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, depending on whether it was day or night. And Numbers 9 tells us, whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And whenever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they travelled and camped at the Lord's command, wherever He told them to go. Are you prepared to go and stop at the Lord's command? Are you prepared to follow His leading? It may be somewhere you don't really want to go. It may be somewhere that seems boring or too safe. It may be somewhere really exciting and dangerous. But listen to the plea of Moses' heart. I want to go where you're going, God. Is that the cry of your heart? The good news is that if it is, then God's promise is to be with you. God's desire is to be with you, and He will bless you. This is the next part of what God said to Moses. I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favourably on you, and I know you by name. He knew Moses' name, and He knows your name. I know a few of your names. And the reason I know some of your names is because I've had more to do with you than some of the others. I know you a bit better. God knows your name because He knows you through and through. And the biblical concept of knowing someone's name is a very strong concept. People, if you know their name, they can call you, they can ask you to do stuff. And there's something about God knowing our name that is very powerful. God knows your name. Years ago, we were in a church where the minister could never remember anyone's name. He married us. The minister married us, but he called me lady. What did he call you? He couldn't remember people's names, but God can remember each one of your names, he knows you intimately. He knows the desires of your heart. And if you feel that you've messed up so far, God says he can give you a new name. In Isaiah 62, it says, you won't ever again be called forsaken or desolate. Your new name will be the city of God's delight or the bride of God. God delights you. He wants to give you a name that says that he delights in you. He wants your reputation as a church and as individuals to be a reputation where people come to find hope and peace and love and new life. Will you cry with Moses, I'm not going anywhere unless you go with me, Lord? The story continues that Moses saw God's glory. That's that wonderful passage where God passed before Moses. God replaced the broken tablets of stone. They made the tabernacle. They learned to worship God. And a year after they first left Egypt, they set out on their journey to the promised land, and God guided them. Sometimes things went badly, sometimes things went well throughout the history of God's people. But he never left them. God's presence was with his people. So if your heart cries out for God, and if you say, we're not going anywhere unless you go with us, then his answer is, I will go with you, I will bless you, and you will know my favour. Do you want this, or will you settle the second best? Let's stand. I just want to pray before this is in our final song. Father, we long with our lives to honour you. And we can only do that if you're with us, if your presence marks us out. So I pray, Father, that you will send your Spirit upon these, your people, that you will equip them for the journey for which you have set before them. For each individual, their own personal journey, and for this church, for the journey of the church, for Brian and Lynn as they start a new phase of their life. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us, that we may know your presence, and that we may not go anywhere unless you are with us. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.